George News Radio Weather Center, sunny to partly cloudy today, 20% chance of rain, 82. Mostly cloudy tonight, 20% chance of rain, 60. Tomorrow, sunny and 90. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
The following is a public notice. The Clintons are getting sick and tired of being accused of all the things they've done. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Kevin Fogarty, City Council. I hope I have your vote on Election Day.
And why exactly should I vote for you, Mr. Fogarty?
Well, because I'm a hard worker. I take a stand.
On what exactly?
The issues of the day.
Which are?
The things that concern you and your family the most.
I simply want the councilman to say one concrete thing.
Yes, I understand. You don't trust me. A lot of people don't trust politicians. I know how it is. I have been out there.
What does that have to do?
If this thing is going to work, we are all going to have to make it work. The way a bunch of people made something work at Lexington and Concord. You may remember it. It's called America.
Yes!
Oh, still one of my favorite clips. But he didn't say anything. Yeah, politicians usually don't. Wow. So many statements out there, fluff and air. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. And you can go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts of this show and share them far and wide. We sure appreciate that. Uncle Milty's with me. Chris Ann Hall, I just found out she's unable to call in today. Some phone troubles. So we'll wish her the best and can't wait for her visit until next week. When she joins us next Thursday. But happy to be here. In fact, in the last hour of the show, we'll have Dr. Duke Pesta. So he'll be joining us because we weren't on the air on Monday. And I'm really happy about that. You know that he's always a big shot in the arm and a lot of fun to talk to you on all of those social issues, especially. But we have quite a few now. And to talk about in this hour. Can't wait for you to chime in too. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450 on Facebook and Twitter. By the way, it's The Kate Daly Show. You can find me really easily and please do. Can't wait to hear from you and talk with you over social media as well. Wow. You were just telling me about Hillary.
Good old Hillary.
Oh, good old Hillary.
For those of you who don't remember, she ran for president.
And she feels very vengeful about it, but go ahead. Yes.
She did the address to the graduates of Hunter College in New York City this past week.
Oh, I can't even imagine having to endure a speech by her, but go ahead.
Well, that's exactly how the graduates felt.
Really?
In the video, they looked bored.
I'm sure they were.
Some were staring at the floor. Others were looking up at the rafters. Right. Some were yawning. It was just pitiful.
I bet.
And
that's funny.
Yeah, she said, there may not be tanks in our streets, but make no mistake, we are witnessing an assault on the rule of law and the foundations of our democracy,
courtesy of her husband for many years and herself. So, makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Just another proof positive that she's history.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that the truth? She's yesterday's news.
Yeah. And she keeps trying to crawl back. But
I know. And, you know, a college like what? Hunter?
Hunter
Has
College.
Has anyone even heard of Hunter College?
Well, actually, it's a...
Is it?
Yeah. It's a very elitist kind of little college there in New York City.
Okay. Oh, right there in New York. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
New York City
college. Okay, because I'm pretty sure the heartland wouldn't have Hillary. But yeah, I could be wrong, though, because most schools are very liberal, as Dr. Pesta will tell you. You know, she always reminded me of Ursula in the movie The Little Mermaid, and an unfortunate soul. She definitely is that. I doubt she talks about the ring of friends. Boy, I've never seen a couple more surrounded by friends dying left and right, associates dying left and right, than I ever have with the Clintons. The Clintons sort of put themselves on the map for that. Yeah. You know the old adage, if you're sitting next to somebody on a plane and they tell you that they're on their way to indict the Clintons in court, say a Hail Mary, say a prayer before you're about to go down, because they sure have a long, long, wide berth of friends and associates that have perished in odd and mysterious ways. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, if you can find the book, The Genie is Out of the Bottle.
Yes.
Alex Jones, back in the 80s, wrote a book about the Clintons. And they put a hit out on him, and he had to go into hiding for quite a few years.
Oh, thank you for that. That's kind of interesting. Thanks for the call. Interesting. Well, you know.
He's one of the few that escaped.
I've just never seen them having to go to so many funerals ever. So, a couple of things. Disney. I want to talk about Disney for just a moment because they've made a political stand. And their political stand, by the way, is quite intriguing. A couple of people have made a stand over Georgia and over their abortion ban.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as the press is reporting, yesterday, the CEO of Walt Disney, Bob, he signaled a pullout in Georgia over the state's new heartbeat legislation, which bans abortion after a baby's unborn heartbeats are detected around 6 weeks gestation. Now, I would like to insert here, this isn't in the article, that actually the heart starts working, the two chambers are formed, and blood is pumping through the body of that newborn separate from its mother at 22 days. But they had a law that said 6 weeks, okay? I don't agree with 6 weeks. I think 6 weeks is far too liberal, actually, and that it starts at conception. But because they passed that, the CEO of Disney, said that future production in Georgia, that he doubts that they will be filming there. And Disney Marvel Studios recently shot scenes for both the Black Panther and Avengers Endgame in that state. And he said, I think many people will work for us will not want to work there. Really? Did he poll them or ask them?
No, he just thinks that.
Because usually the employees just kind of go where they're assigned.
Exactly.
It really, politics doesn't really enter into that.
Rarely.
But he said that, of course, they don't want us to go there. And so he's blaming it on the employees that were never asked. And he said, we will have to heed their wishes in that regard, the wishes that they never, ever received in that regard. So he said, right now we're watching it very carefully. So basically what that means is he's putting it out in the press to see what kind of fallout they get from Disney films in the future to see whether or not he wants to blame it further on the employees.
It's kind of like when a union uses your dues to pay for a political...
Yes. Yes, it does.
That you don't like.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he said, you know, basically I don't see how that's practical for us to continue to shoot there. Practicality has nothing to do
Not
with this.
A thing.
He's saying basically I'm making it too political for us to work there. If he was going to be honest, that's basically what he would say. And he said if that law goes into effect. So they signed the pro-life bill into law on May 7th. I like the fact that they signed a pro-life bill, but it didn't go far enough for me. And of course, for some reason, the CEO of the successful Disney Corporation heeds the opinions of Alyssa Milano, the idiot tool actress that has barely shown up in a couple of series in her lifetime, who's not very talented by any means or any stretch of the imagination.
She's pretty, though.
She's pretty. She's pretty. But she actually wanted to spearhead, of course, that Hollywood boycott. So there are other actresses now coming forward who basically had to have Alyssa Milano spearhead them. Can you imagine Miss Alyssa Milano being your leader?
No.
Yeah. Five brain cells together, pulled together, basically leading you on your march of standing up for your convictions. Okie dokie. So in March, 50 actors, that's all they could round up, signed onto a letter penned by the abortion activist, Alyssa Milano, to Georgia House Speaker David Ralston and the governor threatening a boycott. And so Georgia has become a magnet for Hollywood projects in a large part really due to the state's 30% tax rebate for film and TV production. I'm sorry, does the entire state of Georgia actually rely solely on Disney coming to town? Because I don't think they do.
Nope.
And you know what? Okay, so that's the fallout. Sounds like it's pretty important to Georgia. And it sounds like they're not going to heed the wishes of Alyssa Milano, who nobody cares about. Nobody cared about, I don't know, like 3 years ago, until she became the spearheader for the atrocious women's lib vagina hat wearing women who want to kill babies. So I guess if you want to be one of the 50 that's led by her, you know what's funny is they really could only get 50
yeah.
to sign the letter. That's actually some good news, apparently, because hey, wouldn't you have thought it was more? But those are the 50 people stupid enough to let Alyssa Milano lead their convictions. So Disney, what's interesting about Disney is, I think the most interesting part of this is them blaming it on the wishes of their employees. And in fact, they're so politicized to a point, yet they don't even back their own politics because they have to blame the employee. Our employees wouldn't like it. Our employees don't want to go there. We can't get good employees. I'm going to venture to guess that if this passed in Georgia, that you would round up enough Georgia residents to actually become part of Disney when you film there. And naturally enough, that's what happens when you go to film a movie. You're going to have a lot of extras from that very state. And I'm going to venture to guess that a lot of Georgia residents would support the pro-life bill. That for me didn't go far enough, but for some it does. And that would basically back that and be just okay with that. So the fact that he's propping this up as we can't get a movie shot because we wouldn't have the employees that would travel. They don't necessarily travel. They pick them from the state in which they go. And the producers and so forth, if he's talking about them, I don't remember the last time. Well, I guess you'll have a couple out there, but in droves, I don't think a producer saying no to a movie because it's shot in a certain location. They just usually want to be the producer of that movie. And I don't really, when I go to a different state, I'm actually, even to visit, I'm not looking at their laws on the books for social issues to determine whether or not I go there or not.
Nope.
So this is just the biggest, stupidest excuse for a human being to stand up and try and push all of this onto something that he is not even sure about because he hasn't probably asked his employees. I'm going to doubt that they were ever asked. Ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous and on a ridiculous premise. And he should be called out for it. And people should be saying no to his movies.
Yeah. I often wonder what happens to people when they're being raised that creates these people like Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
Because she was raised Roman Catholic.
I know. Yeah. You would think. She's gotten a lot of attention. A lot of attention for this. In fact, she even got the reward of being in a recent movie because of this. Because her aunt Ashley Judd, the two of them combined together, are maybe three brain cells at the most. And they are basically devoid of a conscience, but these are can't even, they're not even D-listers, they're like L-listers, M-listers for that industry, and they're speaking for the industry. Has that ever actually occurred to everybody that you have these two actresses that were basically devoid of a career now and have been for a little while here that are actually speaking out for all of Hollywood? That's disturbing.
Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
About to check outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you're gonna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Uncle Mildy joins me today. Chris Ann Hall will be back next week. Having some phone issues, so we've missed her today. But we'll have her back next week. We have Dr. Pesta joining us in the next hour of the show, last hour. And grateful that you're tuning in. The call-in number live, and you can call in right now, 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. This issue. Man, can you imagine or just even believe how many headlines this has grabbed this year? And I'm grateful that the conversation is there, trust me. On abortion, I think it's long due, and our society has not been a better one for this. And I'm telling you, as Louisiana signs their heartbeat law, as states are now finally exerting some soul, it's some, because I don't even agree with the heartbeat. I think it needs to be at conception that it would be illegal, but. Even on that, I'm grateful that at least people are starting to take a stand. And you know, you're going to see a lot of division. You're going to see a lot of division. If these companies like Disney are not going to film, what's funny when I look at this is, are people having abortions on the set? I don't understand how the abortion law figures into filming a movie. But of course, they want to take a stand to show people, I guess, the power of Disney and what Disney can do. And Disney is going to not go ahead and film in Georgia because of their law. Yeah, we'll show Georgia. It's such a tiny, tiny part of what goes on in Georgia, minuscule if that, and so random because you never know what film is going to show up where, that it really is kind of a ridiculous stand. And it's so ridiculous to do this sort of thing based on business, but that's their stand. So does it change the way you look at Disney? Does it change the way you follow Disney? I mean, look at the quandary. They're making movies for little kids but are totally okay with killing them off. That's a quandary. They're putting themselves in a very distinct and very strange position, if you ask me. And there's a lot of conservative parents that you know, tromp off to the movies with their littles, taking them to a Disney show. Because why? They trust Disney to bring forth this great movie for their kids to watch. Mm-hmm. Yet they're out there with their politics stating that we really support killing babies in the womb. So what does that do to you now, listeners? How do you feel about Disney?
They have a new animated feature coming out, I heard.
What's up?
Why you don't have any brothers and sisters.
Oh, my gosh. I just... Isn't it... Just think about this for a second. I'm troubled. I'm so troubled that not only are people following the Alyssa Milano experiment, because I think she clearly is. She's pitiful to me. But you'll have a D-lister actress telling you how to think on this issue, and following her. If I ever followed an Alyssa Milano in my lifetime, please have me committed, because there's something really wrong with that girl. And I can't imagine her defining my ideology for me. But apparently people out there are okay with it in Hollywood. And a very few, by the way, too. So there's that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi there.
This does not change my opinion of Disney at all. I don't like Disney. They put homosexuality in everything. It supersedes the main plot of movies. And
yep.
The
nowadays
movies and
it does.
Animation where that's there. So
yeah, nowadays it surely
this is
does.
No surprise whatsoever to me.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And I'm sure other people feel a lot that same way.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I haven't. It doesn't change my opinion. I don't like them either.
Well, it's ridiculous. And
but when I was growing up, Disney movies were wonderful. Bambi, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Cinderella.
My uncle actually drew some of that forest on Snow White. Yeah, and then they were
great.
They weren't politicized.
Nope.
They weren't politicized.
Well,
I mean,
Walt wouldn't have.
Yeah, I mean Disney. Well, Disney in of itself. I mean, you can look at the side of Disney that did the propaganda films, World War II. You can look at that side of it, but I think their children's movies that they put out during that time. I don't see anything wrong with those children's movies, and I think nowadays this is all about. I can't really go to the movies anymore because it's so politicized and so and putting in the producers or directors' ideology to the point of nauseam. So. It's very difficult for me today to go to the movies.
Have you heard about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
No.
The progressives are saying that when he gives her the kiss that wakes her up, she didn't have permission for that.
So Snow White remains dead because
she's a me tooer.
Or in a coma.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's great. Oh, jeez.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Nothing they do makes sense.
I know. No, it's really unfortunate.
So Disney tries to side with the progressives in every area they possibly can, and they attack a 60-year-old movie or a 70-year-old movie, however old it is. It's an old movie, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I applaud people for finally taking a stand in the other direction, these states that are finally understanding they have states' rights. Maybe they weren't clued in before. Some states fought Roe versus Wade, but not very many. And even that took a little while to do. But still, I have to applaud that still. But at the same time, it's not far enough. So I'm not going to give us a huge pat on the back yet until we're actually advocating for the life of the unborn. You know, they did in Roman times. They basically, you know, we're not smarter. We're not smarter than those even in the Roman times. A lot of people think that we are. In 2019, now we're so smart. No, we just got craftier at evading consequences is what happened. We didn't get smarter. So with that being said, because that's a huge, huge, huge one. And you, Illinois, I don't know what you're doing because you signed a bill that is just horrific. New York, geez, you in New York, I'm not quite sure what in the world's going on. But I know a lot of you are just very upset by it because I get the emails about it. The liberal progressive, the movement for liberal progressive says that it's your body, your choice. Yet when it comes to vaccines, government gets to do whatever they want. So I did want to talk about this for a moment because the big story, one of the big headlines was measles outbreak bigger than ever before reached record numbers. What was the record number?
996.
Not thousand.
No, just 996.
Just 996 cases,
but
in 330 million people in this country, 996. Wow, that's enormous. No, yeah. That is nothing. Oh my gosh.
Well, the last time it was even close to that number was in 1994 at 963.
Wow. Okay, so I just want you to know, because we always follow the rhetoric line from this. So what they're saying now is that the CDC just sort of estimated a number of how many measles cases we've had, and that without the vaccination, we had 4 million every year. And you know why they say that? Get this. I can't make this up. They say that because they say it went unreported. Do you know why it went unreported? Because people weren't dying from it. Because like the Brady Bunch, they got it and it was like, score, we got a good one. We got to stay home from school for a week and we muscled through it and our immune system developed from having had the measles. That's why it went underreported. That's why it didn't go reported, is because people thought this is something we get and it strengthened their immune system. And so the CDC, got to hand it to them for creativity, pulled that number out of the hat. They just said, well, 4 million people were getting it. And that's why, boy, it could soar to that number again. So this 91, 96 people, I can't remember what the number was. 971 people that have it. That is huge. I'm not, and that it could go to 4 million. I'm not quite sure what in the world they're smoking, but this is getting ridiculous.
I'm amazed at how well they can make their estimates, because they estimate 3 to 4 million used to get measles. And out of the 3 to 4 million, 400 to 500, they think died. And another
really?
48,000 were hospitalized.
Really?
Okay. 1% of 4 million is 40,000.
Yeah.
So 99% of the people that got the measles prior to the big saving us vaccine, 99% of people didn't even know they had it.
Yeah. And I do want to mention, of the 971 that they say have it, a huge portion of those is actually a vaccine reaction that mimics the same symptoms as measles. We've said this before on the show, but in case you're in and out of the show, like a lot of people are, I just, as you're traveling, I just want to make sure and say that one more time, that these are not because of the unvaccinated. This is oftentimes due to the fact that you get a new measles shot and you have a reaction to it. So they're not disclosing that. And they're making it seem as though 971 cases is such a whopping number in America. You have a better chance of being hit by lightning twice or being in an accident in an airplane where everybody dies than you do ever getting the measles. And it will help your immune system. So hurrah for the 971 minus the ones that got a measles reaction, because your immune system will actually be better because of it. So there you go.
Did I ever tell you that whenever my children received, my grandchildren received vaccinations, I couldn't go near them for a couple of weeks?
Wow.
Because I have AIDS. And their vaccines could have killed me.
Yeah. Well, the media won't report that, though.
No.
Yeah. It's only the unvaccinated that are harming you. Yep. And that's why they're pushing for all these laws. So I just wanted to say again, it rears its ugly head in the headlines again, because it 200 more people in America, in the entire country, coast to coast, have measles for about a week. Well, okay.
Terrible.
Wow, how sad. Okay, that's just horrific. I'm not quite sure what the conclusion is supposed to be on that, but I guess that number is supposed to jump out and shock you like electricity. And the fact that the CDC can get creative and just make up numbers from the past, you should be really offended. If you want to be offended, here's something to be offended about. Instead of the normal stuff that people get offended over, get offended over that, because they're making up numbers to prove their point as to why the government should have every reason to tell you what they can stick you with, thereby declaring that your body isn't your choice, only when you want to murder a baby. But other than that, your body is not your choice, and that they get to do whatever they want to you. So there's always that. And I think it's pretty despicable that they get away with that and nobody questions it. I don't think they should have the luxury of inventing their own numbers. What did they say? Several hundred people dying? Really?
Yeah. Well, back then.
Yeah. And this is the entire reason it went underreported or not reported, is because people weren't dying. They weren't dying of measles. Maybe something else with measles, but it was never the norm that people were dying of measles. So I just wanted to make sure and get that out, because it is in the headlines today, and they're acting like 200 more people getting it was just this huge, huge number. If 900 people in an entire community got it, it still wouldn't be the major epidemic that they're calling it.
No.
I mean, this is, jeez Louise. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there, welcome back. That's a way back machine, Deep Purple. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can reach me at the Kate Daly or katedalyradio.com, three words, katedalyradio.com. You can also email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. I do read all your emails. Even if I don't get back to you right away, I do read them. So I just wanted you to know. And I was schooled a little bit by a listener for the way I say Mueller. I actually looked it up, because it spelled like Bueller, so I would always say Mueller. But I guess there's been some talk about this, which is so dumb, really, because it's somebody's, I mean, people pronounce my name Daly. It's Daly. But I was on the Oprah show, and I'll never forget her saying Daly. And I just went, oh, okay, whatever. But people get upset by this kind of stuff.
That's funny. But the reality is that in Germany, Mueller is spelled M-U-L-L-E-R. But the U has an umlaut over it.
Which
changes it from a U to a Mule.
Right,
Mueller.
Right. In fact, just wanted to say this. If you go to the internet to try and figure out how to say this, the M-U-E-L-L-E-R, this is what it says. Here we go.
Müller.
Okay.
Müller.
Okay. So there's lots of different... In fact, there was a huge article about this, and I know this is just so dumb, but there was a huge article about, depending on where you're listening and depending on what state, you're going to hear a different version of it. I thought that was kind of funny. I just go with Bueller because it reminds me of how idiotic Bueller.
The pronunciation you just played is the actual German pronunciation, where the W is not so pronounced.
Right.
She's saying it with the U umlaut.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're
That's
right.
All.
Yeah, I know. It's funny how people get hung up on, but I know it. Oh, geez, the whole nightmare of that whole situation has just, aren't you tired of it? I am. I don't even want to talk about it today. I'm so tired of it.
I find the pronunciation of his name much more important than what he has to say. about the president.
Oh, that guy's got such a long history of just corrupt activity. Mueller.
He sure was a plant for the progressives and the Democrats yesterday.
Yeah, and it's pretty telling that he couldn't come up with much, but he sure took his jab on the way back, on the way out, which is whatever. Who cares? I could care less about him. I just wanted to just kind of go over for just a moment a couple of things. Biden, the media is saying that that Biden maintains a commanding lead in the wide region that is the multiple people that want to run for the ticket of president under the Democrat ticket. And so Rush was saying, I think it was Rush actually was saying that, actually Scott Adams, on Red Talk State Radio, Red Talk Radio, which I'm on actually, was saying that, you know, he's got the personality of Puckett-Lint and that obviously, they're running him because they know Trump will win. So they're kind of running him as part of an exercise. It's kind of like the training exercise before the real game. And so what they're doing is sort of expending him over this run at 2020. So then they can run, you know, their most leftist progressive on the next round so that they are sure to deliver that person. So kind of saving the good, saving that actor, whoever answers that casting call in the play that is the Democratic president of socialism to be able to be that person. And that actually makes sense.
Sounds very similar to kind of what Hillary used Sanders for in 2016.
Yeah. Very, very true. Mm. So it's kind of funny kind of keeping an eye on what's going on there. And the fact that we even have Biden, can you believe we're there? We actually have Biden running for president. Okay. So it's enough amazing on that. I know. We have, of course, Illinois, Louisiana, both drawing national battle lines for abortion, which has become a very contentious issue, which it shouldn't. The fact we shouldn't even be having this discussion based on the fact that we know how it should go. But you know, that's where we're at in 2019. So what are you going to do? Open phone lines, 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. I also wanted to mention MTV putting out their first sexually fluid reality dating show, calling it a hit already, even though hardly anyone's tuning in. You know what? And we'll tune in. You're going to see more of that, too. And we're going to get to a pretty hard line when it comes to what you're going to be watching in the future, I think, too, and how much media you consume as media kind of goes off the brink. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
Angle Malte should get your pronunciation straight.
What is it?
Ankle Malte and Kate? Daily. Have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate that. thanks.
Ankle Malte.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That was funny.
Yeah. Just to let you know, too, a lot of robotics, the revolution of robotics is moving forward. Amazon now using robots to pack shipping boxes. Computers now taking jobs in a lot of industries, as we know. But rolling this out pretty big, on a pretty big scale, keep an eye on that. We're going to see a lot of jobs lost for that reason. And I also pointed out, and I should probably do this on this hour too, there was a show called The Employables, and I actually like this show. This show actually showcases those with autism, those with having disabilities, and figuring out what they're good at and figuring out their talents. And what direction to put them in. And so the parents met with on the show, it's kind of a reality show. The parents put them in touch with an occupational therapist that says, okay, this is, test them and says, this is what you excel at. And basically now going after what they're good at rather than trying for maybe the customer service job is not going to be the best fit for them and that it doesn't really go with their strengths. And so I was telling Uncle Milty this earlier that there was one kid on the show that basically was a high-functioning autism, and he really had a love for traffic lights and intersections. And so he went in and applied for the job, and as he was applying, he was a little too honest in the job and came across to the point where you saw the eyebrows raise of those interviewing him, thinking, oh, gosh, we're never going to employ this guy, this kid. He was in his 20s. And desperately wanting work, but he had this love. He even drew traffic signs. He just had this love for roads, and he would stand at intersections and watch the traffic lights and analyze the data, analyze those traffic lights. So what they decided to do with him, instead of just turning him down for the job, was to give him data to analyze, and they let him do that. And he came up with the same conclusion after a couple of days that the firm came that hired this kid for, I mean, I'm sorry, the firm that they hired, this county hired a firm to analyze the same thing, and it took months to analyze the data, and they both came out with the same conclusion. So they figured, oh my gosh, we can hire this savant. We can hire this kid who's so good at looking at an intersection and dissecting the problems quickly and save ourselves a lot of money as a county. And so they gave him the job and they hired him, and he was so tickled about this. He was so excited about it. And I thought, you know, that is solving a problem, and it's a great thing. And so no, we're not always gloom and doom. And no, I know that we get bombarded by awful headlines and awful things that are going on that we have to fight. And I think as we become more of a patriot in this country to the Constitution, we have to fight for. And we've got everything stacked against that. Yet at the same time, I just always want to recognize when I see something really positive and good, because there are a lot of parents, now that those numbers have gone up through autism, and we were talking about vaccines earlier, but, mm-hmm. but through autism, as we see those numbers climb, and they're going to continue to climb, they say in what, I think it was 5 to 10 years, we're going to see 1 in 3 that have
wow.
it. Yeah. 1 in 3. Now, all of those that were hit the hardest, see, it really, the numbers, it went from 1 in 10,000, and then all of a sudden mid-90s hit, and it went started going through the roof. And now I know my state, I think it's in 1 in 30 or 1 in 35. And so it's been climbing steadily. That's a huge, huge jump. And then if it goes 1 in 3, all of these kids now that were in 95 are in their 20s, and they're trying to find work, and they're trying to find what they're good at. And I applaud those that are trying to help them and their families, because that means independence for them. It means a paycheck. It means having a job. And we all know that self-respect is tied to jobs. And we all know that how you feel when you're employed versus being unemployed, and that nobody wants you, and that your disability could be keeping you from a job. And for me, when I was watching the show, it seemed like a lot of the youth kept trying for the job that they were probably the most that would not have them excel at their talents, because they were more customer service type jobs, in which that was probably one of their biggest issues and biggest problems that they had to deal with. And so these savants, these kids with these extraordinary talents for creativity or numbers or analyzing or focusing on one thing for a long period of time, they do have a place, and they have such an importance to a company. And if you can be an employer that sees through the social problems that some of those things can have, Tourette's or Alzheimer's, or not Alzheimer's, I'm sorry, autism or Asperger's. If you're an employer that can see through that and see the talent that's behind that, then I encourage you to try and do that as well. And I just wanted to mention that, because I know a lot of parents out there are struggling, or you have a family member that's struggling. And I think that when somebody can come in and help them, or you can help them to decide, okay, what are your, if you're good at computers or you're good at a certain thing, then maybe present that skill and hope and pray that that employer can see that skill. Then I think that we can solve problems that way, because we're going to have a lot more kids with a lot more challenges going full bore into adulthood that we haven't had to experience as a nation. And we have a huge, huge amount of kids now that are hitting their 20s that need to find their place.
Can autism be detected in the womb?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Let me see.
I don't think so. I mean, I know that for a lot of kids around the age of 18 months, actually right around the time of the MMR, is when they were seeing a child change. Where all of a sudden they had problems. It's like the brain kind of shuts down in the communicative processes, and they had a harder time. And parents were noticing at a particular age a lot of that happens. Not for every child, but about 18 months they could notice some big, big, big changes. And the parents are pretty clued into that. I trust when a parent says, hey, my kid is completely different now. And what caused that? And so you could go the rounds on this. I have my particular view on the MMR because no person on earth's ever had measles, mumps, and rubella. There's no reason to put those three vaccines together. No person on earth has ever had all three at the same time. But they did that for profit. And I do think there are other problems with that, too, causing some things. Because if only that was causing it, then every kid that had it would be getting it. I think it's a combination of things that included. But with that being said, and having done many shows on that, 18 months is usually when you see kind of a shift.
Well, it just stands to reason to me that if it's something that can't be detected in the womb, then it's something that happens after birth, like vaccinations.
Yeah. Yeah, and something they're prone to, or because of that, what could be vaccinations affecting that, then they're more susceptible to genetically.
Uh-huh.
So there could be a lot of things. And we've had a lot of different scientists, doctors on the show that have talked about all the different things that could be with that. But a lot of them agreed that seems to be one of the things universally that happens right about the time of that shift in noticing a huge difference in their child. And so 18 months to 2 years. So with that being said, I know it's so controversial. Isn't it sad that that's controversial, that people can't explore that? Because I think the fact that they put those three together in one vaccine and never had a reason to, and have had had issues with the issuance of that vaccine,
just the fact they need
to be called on it.
Just the fact that there's a correlation. Why would you even want to gamble it then?
I know.
Separate the shots out over a different period of time if you'll want to vaccinate your kid.
Dr. Wakefield, the famed doctor who had on the show as well that outed this, actually asked the CDC, why do you put them together? Why did that happen? There was no answer. Crickets. Complete and total crickets on that one. Yep, they couldn't answer it. And because it was for profit, there was no actual reasoning behind that medically or for any other reason than to say that it was for profit. So, there's so much to that. And it's interesting how the vaccine and the abortion, those two things are in the news just consistently right now. It's amazing to me because having spent years on talk radio, they haven't been. They have not been in the news consistently. And so I'm always surprised to see it. And I guess not surprised / not surprised. There's a lot of control and a lot of eugenics and a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show with Dr. Duke Pesta on a special Thursday edition of Dr. Duke. You're not going to.